It's not unusual to find plenty of wine caves and wine cellars in wine country. What is unusual is discovering a sophisticated broadcast facility inside these well-protected and often top-secret chambers. But maybe it really isn't that surprising that America's number one wine broadcast originates from the soul of wine country. And it is our great privilege to do all we can to inspire you. If you drink wine simply because, well, it's a drink, we've got our work cut out. For literally thousands of years, wine has fueled celebrations, ended conflicts, and provided the ultimate connection between one human being and another. It makes food taste better, lifts spirits, sparks our imagination, and beckons us to slow down and love life. If that all sounds good to you, you're in the right place. So sit back, clear your head, put any worries you have on hold, and join us as we go in search of this week's Grape Encounter. But be warned, we speak a much different language than what you typically experience in most wine-centric environments. But you didn't come here because you're ordinary, did you? Good, because your host, David Wilson, is here to take you far, far away from the beaten path. Here's David.
And it is time for your weekly Grape Encounter. I have to tell you that if anybody had said to me that I would be sitting where I'm sitting, talking about what we're about to talk about, and living the life that I'm living right now, 6 months ago, I would have taken steps to have you committed. Because the world today is radically different. And you know, a lot of it has been very, very unpleasant, for sure. But there have also been some amazing surprises around many of the corners that I have turned, although I've mostly been locked up, so I haven't been turning a lot of corners. That being said, I am on the road and so happy to be where I am right now, which is dead smack in the middle of the Napa Valley, Oakville to be more precise, and with somebody that for as long as I have loved wine, I would have died to meet. And thankfully, I haven't died, but I'm sitting with her now. It is Bonnie Meyer, and she, along with her husband, Justin, were the founders of Silver Oak. And anybody that knows wine, I think, would probably agree that it is the most iconic, I'm going to use this term carefully, luxury brand in certainly California history and probably American history, I'm sure. And before we get any further, I got to welcome, I'm welcoming you, Bonnie, to the show, but I'm in your house. And this is awesome.
And good to be here with you and with everyone who's listening today.
I just want to bring everybody up to speed. I arrived last night, last evening, and we got to have a wonderful meal together and just share a wonderful conversation. And we didn't talk all that much about what we're going to be talking about today, which is a brand new book that's just come out. It is just marvelous. It is so interesting and different than anything having to do with wine that you have ever read or ever watched. But to say that it has to do with wine is only telling about, I'm guessing, maybe 10% of the story. It's a romance. It's got huge metaphysical elements to it. It has spiritual components that are just unimaginable. And so, Bonnie, the book, it literally just came out, right?
It did. in the middle of COVID when no one could go buy it.
Well, yeah, but you can get it at Amazon, though.
Yeah, yes, you can get it on Amazon and my website. So the book is officially launched.
I need to tell you, as we start this conversation, two things that I need to tell you. The first is this, that this is going to be something that I've never done before, and that is that we're going to be doing this in two parts, this week and next week. There's so much to talk about. It is so different than anything that I've ever discussed on Grape Encounters that I'm just like a kid in a candy store, but I'm really an adult in a wine store here. And they only sell Silver Oak and the Meyer brand, which your son makes, right?
Yes. Matt and Karen, they make Meyer Family Cellars.
How proud are you of him?
Oh, I think he makes great wines. I'm very proud of him.
I think it's got to be an awful feeling to have to live up to the legend of your late husband, because he was the greatest of the greatest.
He was pretty shy at first, and at first he only wanted to make some Syrah. He didn't want to make Cabernet. And then he realized, oh, well, it's kind of a natural. And I think his Cabernets are very much in the same style of his dad's, and I think they're beautiful. And the wines that he made that kind of really gave me pause were he decided to make rosé, and I don't like rosé.
No!
And I really held my breath as I tasted it the first time, but it actually is a good rosé. It's got some character, which is unusual for rosé. So anyway, he and Karen, they make an array of wines, and I'm very proud of both of them.
Well, I can understand why he would start with Syrah, because then it wouldn't have to be compared with mom and dad's wines.
That's right.
Which are so iconic. And we need to say this, that you don't own Silver Oak any longer.
No.
And that was sold quite a while ago now, right?
It was sold in 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah.
So almost 20 years ago. Yeah. The thing about this story that I think is going to fascinate all of you is the fact that you maybe think you know this story, but you don't know this story. I think you have to be very, very intimate and plugged into Napa wine to really know all the nuances.
It was 1967, and I just started at UC Davis and was invited to a birthday party by a student I had just met. Was so happy to be going to a professor's home. And when I got there, I realized, oh, the birthday boy was a Christian brother. He was a monk. And when he walked into the room, he was this really good-looking athletic guy in street clothes. So I was surprised. And he was a very jovial kind of guy. So I had a great time that evening. And in fact, my friend had told me to bring your guitar. And I did. I brought my guitar out to sing Happy Birthday at the right moment. And Justin's eyes, Brother Justin at the time, Brother Justin's eyes just lit up, and he excused himself. He went back to his bedroom, got his handmade banjo. He was a big fan of Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Kingston Trio. So after dinner, the two of us played music and sang those songs for hours and hours. And so we were immediate friends. He was in training for the leadership of Christian Brothers Winery, which was, I think, the second largest winery in the United States at that time.
And it's probably, you know, one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, buildings in the entire region here.
Yeah, built in the 1880s.
But if you know wine, then you know that it really was Christian Brothers.
And at that time, they were making, not just brandy, they were making 40 different wines.
That's crazy. All right, we're going to take a break for just a moment. We are talking to Bonnie Meyer. She and Brother Justin founded Silver Oak, except that he, at that point, wasn't Brother Justin anymore. And now you're starting to catch on to the story, because once you get to know Bonnie, and I've just gotten to know her a little bit here over the past 24 hours, you can understand why a man would leave the order for such an extraordinary woman. And the story is extraordinary, and it gets even more extraordinary because he's very much with you today, and you communicate often, right?
Yes.
Daily?
Not exactly.
But a lot.
But I feel his presence all the time.
Yeah, and that's not just metaphorically speaking. And this is
right.
This is the real deal. Okay, so we're going to jump into more aspects of that when we return with Grape Encounters. And by the way, I got to remember when we come back to tell you just how weird this day began. And I was prepared for some strange things to happen, but certainly not what I woke up to today. So we'll be back with more Grape Encounters here at the home of Bonnie Meyer in Oakville, California, the heart of the Napa Valley, and really probably one of the very best, if not the best, cab growing places on the planet. Is that fair to say, Bonnie?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be back. Hang with me. You know, even though I spend almost every waking hour trying to track down all things wine, Total Wine & More is always several steps ahead. Total Wine doesn't just sell the same old, same old. They're always busy forging relationships with the best producers so that they're able to provide exceptional wines that are exciting and new to you at incredible prices. And for a contactless experience, try their curbside pickup option. Simply order online for an easy new way to shop at TotalWine.com.
In Greek mythology, we learn the mysterious connection between walnuts and wine. When Dionysus, the god of wine, fell in love with Princess Caria of Laconia, her sisters tried to prevent the romance, so Dionysus turned them into rocks. He also turned his beloved Caria into a walnut tree. She was, after all, a hard nut to crack. At mmorganics.com in Paso Robles, California, Walnuts and Wine is the ultimate love story. You'll flip over their 100% organic port-style dessert wines and organic heirloom walnut products, including sprouted snacking walnuts in five awesome flavors, irresistible raw organic walnut butter, free trade chocolate-covered walnuts, and for bakers, MM Organics produces 100% gluten-free walnut flour, estate walnut oil, and of course, their crazy delicious raw walnuts. Get all their products online at mmorganics.com. That's mmorganics.com.
Summer is here, invigorating our state of mind and sparking desires for things that complement our playful mood. Yep, our barbecues are already working overtime, cranking out slabs of baby backs that pair perfectly with light, crisp summer sippers. And if you need a little inspiration, check out the summer wine list that no one can resist. It's Total Wine & More's top 12 summer wines, featuring a truly eclectic cross-section of wines, all under $20 and many under $10. Plus, Total Wine & More is offering summer wine bundles that save you up to $24 on a variety pack of wine. And now that we've all gotten into curbside buying, you can order online at TotalWine.com and pick up your order in the store or just outside for a contactless experience. The best lineup of super low-priced summer wines is just a click away at TotalWine.com. So I arrived in Oakville in the Napa Valley and got here in time to have dinner with Bonnie Meyer. Bonnie, your husband, Justin, is certainly legendary, but I don't want to take anything away from you because you are equally legendary, not in the same way he is so important to wine, but you're very important to wine because women weren't playing key roles in the wine business at that time, right?
That's true.
I want you to talk for a moment about the professor that hosted dinners that you and Brother Justin would meet at. And then also, there's one other character I really want to make sure we talk about, which is Brother Timothy.
So, Harold Omo, Brother Justin was living there. It's where that birthday party was. And Harold often had graduate students living in his home. And he and his wife loved having students over. Actually, that first time I went, I volunteered to set the table. And I opened up a cupboard and saw service for 60. And I thought, okay, this is different than my house. And found out later that they would actually make a table out of their ping pong table and have 20 people around it. And Helen was a great cook. And we would just, we'd have lots of wine. Harold had the most unusual collection of wine because people would give them to him from all over. But he also was one of the most foremost viticulturists in the world. So not only was he researching and breeding new varieties of wine grapes, but also table grapes. And then I ended up working for him in the summers, and together we made 2,000 different wines and tasted and analyzed about 2,000 different table grapes.
So I think it's safe to say that at that time, you made more wine than any other woman on the planet. Am I right?
I never thought about that, but probably.
2,000 wines in a summer has got to be a record, right? You just trumped Justin there. A couple of things that we've got to get into perspective here. We're talking about 1967, Summer of Love, a time of innocence and lost innocence. But also what's very important about that time period is the fact that Napa Valley wasn't on the chart at that point in time.
No.
How many legitimate wineries, commercial wineries, do you think were operating here at that time?
I think there were about 12.
12. And how many do you know to be in existence today? It's hundreds and hundreds, right?
It's over 500.
Over 500. I mean, so put that into perspective. I mean, these are pioneers. And you were attending Davis, and while any of us who are attached to the wine industry know that it's the foremost viticulture school, anything wine, all things wine in the world. But then you weren't going there to learn to make wine, right?
Right. I went there to study psychology.
Well, of course. the psychology of wine. Now, a couple of other details that we've got to fill in here. You were a good Catholic girl.
Yep.
And at the time that you were going to these dinner parties, how old were you?
I had just turned 18.
So you were not even of legal drinking age, right?
That's correct. But anybody who walked into the Omos house was offered a glass of wine. First of all, the Omos were Italian. And even though, yes, he was a viticulture professor, but Italian. And Italians think of wine as food. And that exactly is how it was treated in their home. And then it became how it was treated in my home, too. So actually, any teenagers that came over for dinner, as long as they were going to stay, they weren't driving, we offered them wine. That's how you learn about wine.
Okay, so you're 18. Mm-hmm. There's this athletic, good-looking monk who's in street clothes, so he doesn't look like a monk, and he doesn't have the round bald spot that is the stereotypical image that we get. And you're 18. He's how old?
That evening, it was his 29th birthday.
Uh-oh. There's an 11-year age difference there. Okay. And can you look me in the eye and say that even at that first meeting, that your heart did not skip a beat?
My heart did not skip a beat. It never occurred to me to be attracted to him or to allow myself to be attracted to him. I was there with another guy anyway, but yeah, he was a brother, and I had gone to a Catholic school. I was used to being around nuns. I knew the drill. I really did understand and deeply respect the profession. But needless to say, obviously, Justin and I did fall in love with each other, brother Justin and I, and we really struggled with that for about 5 years. The whole time he was there finishing his master's degree. I just began and went through teacher's credentials training, and all that time, we would see each other from time to time at Dr. Omo's house. We would play music, we would sing, and then eventually we would kiss, and there was definitely some of that going on, but we knew we couldn't be together.
And this is all going on very quietly in the shadows,
right?
And you kept it from pretty much everybody. Were there people, though, that you later found out actually were onto what was going on?
Well, there was a secretary at Christian Brothers who would see my thick letters from UC Davis, and she had a feeling something was going on.
We're going to have to take a break in just a second here, but how long would you say that it was between that 29th birthday party and then when you first started to think, uh-oh, something's amiss here?
It was, I guess, about 5 months.
That's a pretty short period of time.
We started singing together at church, and he was helping me with my Spanish studies. And then one night he was taking me home from the Omos, and he stopped the car. We got out, quote, to see the stars, and which seemed okay to me. And then he took me in his arms and kissed me.
Uh-oh.
And told me he loved me, and I was really surprised. But then I started thinking about, well, wait a second. You know, I think I've gotten really excited when I knew he was coming over. Wait a second. I've really enjoyed my times I've spent with him. Wait a second. I think I'm in love with this guy, too.
And this ends up being the most powerful romance I've ever heard of. And by the way, I cannot do this story justice in 2 hours, which is what we're going to do. But I can't do it in 2 hours. You got to read the book. You get into great detail, and you'll understand just how powerful this is and how just the daringness of what you went through and the tumultuous emotional feelings that you both had to confront. I don't know if it's worth it, but anyway, talking to Bonnie Meyer, sitting in the same home that you and Justin purchased, now, going back to what year?
1972.
Yeah, 70.
We lived here first when he managed this property, and then we purchased it from the owner.
Wow.
So we, our whole married life.
Super cool. Yeah. All right, we're going to come back with more Grape Encounters with Bonnie Meyer. What a pleasure. And, you know, he said I was going to tell you about how my morning started. And there's so much to talk about, but we'll get to everything eventually here on this very special edition of Grape Encounters Radio.
We like to talk about wine.
Did you know that there's a lot more going on in the world of Grape Encounters than what you hear each week on the radio show? If your answer is no, it means that you're not as plugged into our wild, wacky, and wonderful world of wine. But we can fix that right now. I really want to share a lot more with you than what we're able to do during the weekly show. Like wine recommendations, interesting ways you can play with your wine, information about upcoming wine happenings, and even recipes I've developed just for you. There are two things you can do to get plugged in. First, join the Grape Encounters Radio group page on Facebook. Make sure it's the group page. Or you can sign up for our mailing list at grapeencounters.com. In coming weeks, I'll be doing giveaways, offering free online parties exclusively for you, and a lot more. Please, don't miss out. Connect with me on Facebook or at grapeencounters.com.
Words can be very confusing. When you're crazy, people say that you're nuts. But what if you're crazy about nuts? Well, that doesn't mean that you should be sent to the funny farm. It means that you should be sent to the farm of MM Organics, the producers of organic heirloom walnuts and walnut products that are so incomparably unique and delicious, other nuts will be reduced to wallflowers. Whoops, there we go with those crazy meanings of words again. After all, if being a wallflower means disappearing into the background, then why does being a walnut from MM Organics mean standing out from the rest? Confused? Well, you won't be when you discover the glorious deliciousness of walnut halves, baking pieces, fair trade chocolate-covered walnuts, and other scrumptious walnut products from MM Organics. Learn more and order yours at mmorganics.com, where you'll also find our utterly irresistible two-horse Portuguese dessert wine that everyone goes nuts for. Get crazy at mmorganics.com.
We're back with more Grape Encounters. Hey, please do us an enormous favor and like us on Facebook. It's the very best way to learn about other opportunities that we may not share on the broadcast. Also, join our mailing list on grapeencounters.com. Listeners on our contact list receive some exclusive opportunities. Become an insider. Enough said. Here's your wine captain, David Wilson.
Back with Grape Encounters Radio. Before we jump back in with Bonnie Meyer, I got here expecting the entire experience to be very different and unusual. What I didn't expect was that in the dead of summer that I was going to be thrown out of bed by the most violent lightning and thunderstorm power pounding rain followed by fire up in the mountains. Bonnie, do you do this to all of your guests? I mean, seriously, this doesn't happen. So we're going to save a lot of this for next week's installment of the show, where we're going to get into things that have occurred since Justin's passing. But there is a lot of really, you know, what most people would call very, very strange things that are kind of a normal part of your life now. But I just felt that it was really incredibly bizarre to have been just thrown out of bed by something that just doesn't happen. I mean, when is the last time you've seen that happen in the Napa Valley?
Not in my memory.
People often say, David, you're a lightning rod. Actually, they don't. But it was absolutely, totally, and amazingly cool, and that it gets more surreal because we're out in a vegetable garden, your vegetable garden, which is astonishing, with a wind machine going in the middle of summer, blowing water off the vines. And then we, with our masks on, go to one of the coolest small markets. So, and I don't want to forget to talk about just how significant being a woman in the wine world was in those days. We've accepted the fact that now there are many, many amazing female winemakers and people who take on an enormous number of chores. Did you know and recognize at the time that you were slowly gravitating toward the wine business, that this was really uncharted waters for women?
You know, the late 1960s, early 1970s were a very interesting time for women in general.
Yeah.
And I was excited to be a trailblazer. I was one of the first people, this was about 75, 76, to start selling wine. Nobody did that. In fact, I was warned, don't go into those wine shops. These guys, I don't know. I don't know what they will do to you, but you know they're not to be trusted. And but I was really happy to be there and blaze new trails and add to the long list of things that women now do.
Tell me the truth, though. Did you hate that? Because I don't like sales at all. Were you cut out for that?
No. You know, when you own a winery, you do what needs to be done. And what I did enjoy was having conversations with the wine shop owners. And they seemed to enjoy that, too. And they appreciated the fact that I wasn't just a salesperson. I actually represented the winery. I was from the winery. And so they would ask me about what's going on in the Napa Valley, what's the latest news? So it was really more of a conversation and just an opportunity to touch base. And we were doing, you know, I think of sales as being, we're doing things here for each other. You know, you're making money from selling my wine. I'm making money. We're partners here. And so that part I enjoyed.
So we're in the Napa Valley in the 60s and the 70s at a time when there are, you know, this is not a known wine region particularly. Yes, they made wine and they've made wine here back, you know, I guess all the way back into the early 1800s, if I recall my history correctly. But when we're only talking about less than a dozen wineries here, what seems to me to be so extraordinary about your story with Brother Justin is the fact that you created a wine that is so exceptional and to this day is so revered at a time when, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, there was a lot of bad wine being made at that time too. I mean, not everybody had it dialed in just yet. There was a lot to learn. And your husband and his mentor, and we haven't talked about Brother Timothy yet, who he worked under, these were trailblazers, but they got it right. I mean, they weren't making mistakes.
Well, that's right. Brother Justin and then my husband Justin, he really had a great advantage having worked with Brother Timothy for a number of years. And so he knew exactly what he wanted. Again, Christian Brothers was making 40 different wines. And some people kind of find out what they want to do because they know what they don't want to do. And that was the case. He knew he didn't want to make 40 wines. He just wanted to make one. He He wanted to make one great one. And his experience at Christian Brothers taught him about wine, taught him about blending. He knew that the best variety that Napa and Sonoma counties both could concentrate on was Cabernet Sauvignon. And as it turns out, over time, people agreed with him. In the 1990s, when a lot of vineyards had to be ripped out because of phylloxera, people planted mostly Cabernet.
Is Napa Cab the best cab in the world?
Yes, and particularly Oakville.
You're not even apologetic about that statement. It's like Bordeaux has nothing on this area.
Yeah, I have to say it's a very different style.
Yeah, they're totally different wines.
Yeah, very, very different wines.
Yeah, and I think it's why is it that Napa cabs are so much better suited to the American palate than old world wines from places like Bordeaux? Because I frankly agree with you. I really prefer Napa cabs to anything I've ever had out of Europe. And I'm gonna really tick some people off by saying that, but I don't care.
I'm going to talk about food for a moment.
Okay.
So we have an ideal climate for growing fruits and vegetables and very fresh, wonderful produce. Our vineyards are very much the same. Except for today and the lightning storm and the rain, our weather is so ideal. It's so easy to grow great Cabernet here. Whereas the French have to work at it. They sweat more than we do. You know, they never sure if they're going to get enough rain or not too much rain. They never quite sure if they're going to get the wine ripe before they have to harvest. You know, it's a little
are vintages much more significant in France than California because of the fact that we are just much more consistent climate-wise?
Very well put. Yes, exactly.
But we still say that certain vintages are better than others. I think it was the 76 and 77 that people kind of poo-pooed, or is it the 75, 76? Which was it?
The 76, we had it was a drought year, and they weren't so great.
Yeah. But even when we right now we've had a lot of drought years, but you all have figured out how to make a lemonade out of lemons.
Growing grapes is an art and a science.
Your husband coined some very important phrases that have endured and continue to endure. We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, I want you to share some of those words of wisdom, because they are, sure, everybody that loves wine and makes wine quotes Justin. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I can't speak for everyone, but yes, he is oft quoted.
That was me in hyperbole. It wasn't. Yeah, I've been known to exaggerate. Anyway, we're going to be back in just a second. Talking to Bonnie. We're just living with Bonnie Meyer. We also need to talk about the winery that you all have now, because that's something that's a going concern, even after you sold Silver Oak and making extraordinary wines along with your son, right? Okay, so we'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this. Hang with me. Today's edition of Grape Encounters is brought to you by Total Wine and More. Every week, we encourage you to look beyond the ordinary and seek the extraordinary. That's why you definitely want to check out Winery Direct at Total Wine and More. These products are identified by the yellow shelf tag in the store or online. The selection includes more than 2,000 of their 8,000 wines, and you could be confident that you're getting the highest quality wines produced by some of the world's most renowned winemakers at the best price. Winery Direct is one of the many things that makes Total Wine and More so unique. Order today at TotalWine.com. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio right after this.
We've got to take a breather for a minute or two. Don't go away. Remember, if we don't let the wine breathe, it's impossible for the show to be done in good taste.
Yeah. If you're a frequent Grape Encounters radio listener, you know that our show is all about inclusiveness. For far too long, wine consumers have felt left out, simply because a small minority of, well, let's call them out, wine snobs have dominated the conversation. For 12 years, it's been my mission to give you, the wine enthusiasts that just want to have fun, a front row seat to everything that's cool about wine. And while we have a very intimate thing going on here, I've been thinking that we can take things where no radio or TV program has gone before. And so beginning next week, I'm inviting you and your friends to get together with me for a private online party. This isn't a big streaming free-for-all event. It's you, me, and your guests. You decide what you want to talk about, we'll set a time, then it's party time. So email me using the contact form at grapeencounters.com. Tell me a little bit about how we can make this fun for you, and I'll respond to as many requests as I can. Just drop me a note at grapeencounters.com. Even though I spend almost every waking hour trying to track down all things wine, Total Wine & More is impossible to keep up with. That's because they have a team of experts constantly searching every corner of the world for amazing wines priced so you can enjoy them on any occasion, like tomorrow. They're always busy forging relationships with the best producers so that they're able to provide exceptional wines that are exciting and new to you at incredible savings. And of course, your faves will be there too. New discoveries, must-have favorites, and more than 8,000 choices to explore online with your handy device while you soak up some shade. Visit Total Wine & More in person, or if you prefer a contactless experience, order online at TotalWine.com and pick up your order in the store or curbside. And for awesome summer wines, all under $20 and many under $10, be sure to check out their summer wines list at TotalWine.com. I have never visited Bonnie's Vineyard before, but it is one of the legendary vineyards in the Napa Valley. It's not very big, but it's named after the amazing woman that I'm staring at right now, Bonnie Meyer. How many acres are we talking?
Four.
I'm going to say this, that I have heard at least 1,000 times the phrase that great wines are made in the vineyard, not in the winery. Where did that come from?
Justin. Justin said that so often.
That is maybe the most popular phrase among winemakers, and a recognition of the fact that, boy, oh boy, if you don't get it right out in the vineyard, forget about it. So you've got these four magical acres of Cabernet that are literally right outside the door where we are right now. Why is that plot of land so special?
I used to tell him that it's because I gaze upon the vineyard every morning.
So you're taking full responsibility for it.
Well, I actually hear something that Justin and I do take responsibility for, and I talk about in the book, Perfectly Paired, is that I believe that our wines were infused with love. Our wines were infused with our romance. And then the surprise gift of naming the little bit in front of our house, Bonnie's Vineyard, was also a gift of love.
Did you two know early on, did you think that you could create a product that was as spectacular as Silver Oak? I know you want to say yes, probably. Oh no, you're shaking your head no. But nobody had hit that benchmark before, really. At what point did you realize, along with Justin, that, oh my gosh, we've created a monster here in a good sort of way?
So our whole goal actually was to create beautiful wines, elegant wines. And we had one thing in mind besides just making Cabernet, making sure that we aged it for 4 or 5 years before it was released. And we also uniquely used American oak. But all of those combined together to make these wines that were truly elegant and well-balanced. And by the way, it takes a lot of patience to make really great wine, too.
But yeah.
We our whole goal was to make great wines and have fun doing it. Fun was really high on our list of values. So we actually never set out to be a great success. We never set out to be well-known or any of those things. We just set out to do what we were doing and do it well and enjoy
So here you are, a young woman who is thinking about becoming a nun. You are becoming best of friends and eventually lovers and then husband and wife with a Christian brother. And you eventually manage to get this Silver Oak Winery up and going along with a Franciscan as well, as was another one of your projects. And then, of course, the winery now. But what I think is fascinating about this story is that those wines, and to this day, Silver Oak commands a very high price, and one that I think is a very fair price. But that you were not about that, right?
That's right. Justin grew up fairly poor, and I came from relatively humble background as well. And we always wanted everyone to be able to at least for some special occasion afford our wine. In addition, I was in charge of marketing, and I didn't want to have to work very hard. And so,
if you make a great product, then you don't have to work as hard to sell it.
No, not just that, but we always consciously underpriced our wines during the 30 years that Justin and I ran Silver Oak, and so we wanted them to be accessible to most people. And we didn't want to work really, really hard to sell them. We didn't want to have to push them. Now, since then, I mean, I was in charge of marketing. I never took a marketing class. Since then, I learned a term. We created a pull. So people were attracted to Silver Oak because of the taste and because of how we treated them, how they felt important. And instead of us pushing our product on them.
The thing that I'm curious about was, what was it like when you were out there pushing the wines and you would walk in and you would pour this wine to somebody who, frankly, at that point in American wine history, had never had a wine that delicious?
It was really fun when we would occasionally go to big wine tastings with, you know, 500 or 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And people would make their rounds, and they'd come by our table, and they say, "I'd like your white wine, please." And we said, "We don't make white wine. We just make Cabernet." Oh, you know, they'd be disappointed and get ready to move on. But then we'd say, "Come on back when you're finished tasting the white wines, because you're going to be surprised." And they would come back because they would hear about Silver Oak from other people. They'd come back and they would taste it and they'd say, "I have never liked red wine before in my life. This is amazing." We heard that many times and it was wonderful to hear.
I imagine. I can only imagine. Okay, Bonnie, we have to call it quits for this week. But as I said earlier, we're doing this in two parts. You're the first. You're the first person on the show that ever gets two consecutive weeks. You're just looking at me like, am I that important? Yes, you're that important. Of course you are. So we're going to come back and we'll get into some of the more gritty things, gritty parts of the story. There's so much more to talk about. But I sure appreciate everybody listening. I promise you, it's going to be a very fun and wild ride. And I want to end it with this. Bonnie, you said something that I really appreciated because I believe it, that you said that you wanted to make fun wines. And I'm just going to say that I don't think that boring people can make fun wines, that you have to be fun people to begin with. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
And after reading your book, I don't think there could have been two more fun people as a couple making wine than you and Justin.
Yeah, I think we just didn't take ourselves too seriously. So it was makes life really good.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about that, too. So we'll be back here next week with more Grape Encounters Radio. Again, the book is Perfectly Paired. Check it out. Buy it. You're going to absolutely love it. It is really a work of art. It's really beautiful. And the best part about it is it's true. It's not a piece of fiction. So that's the really amazing thing about it. So if you love romance, you love wine, you love spirituality, you love amazing stories, get it. And we'll rendezvous back here next week. I want to remind you that Grape Encounters Radio has been brought to you by Total Wine and More. You know, when you sell over 8,000 wines under one roof, you're going to meet consumers from every walk of life with different tastes and needs. Luckily, Total Wine has everybody covered with their nearly endless selection of wines to choose from, plus a variety of ways to shop. They even have in-store pickup and contactless curbside pickup, so you're in and out in a flash. From your favorite picks to rare finds, there's always something new to discover
at Total Wine and More. Order today at TotalWine.com.